Welcome back to the program on Radio Islam International. We are joined by Maulana Junaid Jassad. Maulana, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana Ibrahim Saab, it's nice to be with you after a very long time. How are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, doing well. And yourself, Maulana? Yes, it's been a very long time, I think about a week or so, and now we're back together, alhamdulillah.
Yes, alhamdulillah, shukr. And looking forward to an interesting program with our listeners this morning as well, inshallah aziz. And yes, number of interesting tech stories that we are looking at as well.
Yes, just looking today to the tech news, and one that really caught my eye, because maybe I also get excited when the battery dies, is that we all know of the annoyance that the person feels when your phone is dying, or when it's that battery low comes, or it's down to 15% or 10%. But now they've discovered this new catalyst material for lithium air batteries, which could make them last 5 times longer, and jump-starting efforts to expand battery capacity. They say that this now, if they bring in this technology and they start using it with the cell phones, it would be able to increase it 5 times, so you'd maybe only have to charge your phone once a week. And they claim that they've discovered this catalyst that will improve the efficiency of lithium air batteries, which are commonly used in mobile phones and other portable devices. They say it could extend the battery life of devices by up to 5 times as long as they currently last. And they say this is a huge promise in this lithium air batteries. And despite the aggressive research being done by all groups over the world, and you find that people have come out with different technologies or discoveries, those promises are not being delivered in real life. But they say this is a very exciting process, and they are pushing it forward, and you might be seeing it soon, where you could have batteries that will be lasting an entire week, Mona.
Yes, this is all a matter of technology and research, Maulana. In the issue of research and technology, perhaps research has reached far ahead, and there were many ideas that could have made life really so much easier for consumers, for the layman, and there are so many different things that could have really bettered our lives and made our lives much more simple and less complicated. But you know, the reality of research compared to rollout is that what the research that reaches the markets is the research that will make the most profit. And that is a basic, simple reality. If that research, even if it is better for mankind, but if it is not profitable to the corporations that are funding that research, and to the corporations that could perhaps be losing money out of them, that research will definitely not reach the markets, and it will not come in the hands of the layman. And this is a reality that we need to live with. And the important thing, Maulana, is that we need to find individuals in our community who are able to do this type of research, who are able to come up with these type of solutions with the pure intention of making that available to make life easier, simpler, cheaper for the layman.
Yes, interesting point there. And we know that is why you find that there's always some good ideas, and have done the research, but it's not being pushed forward. As was mentioned in this article as well, that a lot of good ideas come through, but they don't get any momentum behind it. And interesting enough, in this very same article where they speak about battery lasting for up to a week, they have something that they call a low battery anxiety. And they say 9 out of 10 people feel panic when their phone battery drops below 20%. And this was done according to a survey, and the phone manufacturer LG surveyed across thousands of people and found low battery anxiety causes people to make choices that impact their daily life. They say 32% said they would drop everything and head back home to charge their phone if they notice it is running low, and 42% said they were likely to skip the gym if they had to choose between working out or charging their phone. Many said they would ask a stranger to charge their device, or they would order something at a restaurant even though they are not hungry, even though they don't need it, just to use the power, the outlet. So it shows that people really have become attached to their phones, where our whole daily or the decisions we make depends on the battery life of our phone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are really dependent on the battery life of the phone, and we would perhaps plan our day according to that. Also carry extra gadgets in our pack. Already you have your cell phone, and then you have to carry your memory stick, and then you have to carry a power pack for your cell phone to boost the energy when it's down. And there's so many things that you have to actually carry. As a man also, you need to carry a handbag now to be able to cope with all of these things.
Yes, and Ma, just on that point, I remember when we were in Marissa, one of the Sativa, they told us that just as how at night you go to sleep, and when you go to sleep, you plug in your phone to charge it so that you can use it for the rest of the day. Then he sort of drew a simile, and he said, likewise, in order to recharge your iman, to recharge your ruh, you should wake up for tahajjud. That is the recharge that you need, that will help you to, just how that recharge at night helps you to use your phone throughout the day, that will be recharging your iman, that will carry you out so that during the day you will make the right decisions and you will stick firm onto deen.
Mm-hmm. That is very, very, very apt and suitable similarity that is drawn from that. And we are so similar to our mobile phones in many different ways. And that's what they want to do with technology, make it as human as possible. And we can take it, we can take example from this, we can take lesson from this. And if we are able to really focus on our lives, our spirituality, as much as we focus on our mobile phones, I think we will be really great winners. You know, recently I read Maulana Ibrahim, I think I mentioned it also once on this program, but perhaps you can remind our listeners that there was a pious man, and he said that he was really wondering that how could the previous generation be so immersed in the recitation of Quran and so immersed in their salah, and with regards to Quran particularly, that they're at all times turning back to Quran and looking at the Quran, and before they go to sleep recite Quran, wake up in the early hours to recite Quran, during the day recite so many juz of the Quran, and they were really so immersed in the Quran. And then he said he did not need to go far to understand that, to grasp the concept and idea, when he saw the people of this 21st century and their attachment to their mobile devices. And this is the reality, that how attached we are to our mobile devices, that when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we check is our mobile devices, our cell phones, the messages. When we are busy with meals, we check it. When we are driving, we check it. When we at work, we check it. When we are free, we check it. The last thing before we go to sleep is we checking our mobile phones. And this extent to which we are attached and connected with our mobile devices was how our pious predecessors were attached and connected to the Quran Kareem.
Yes, true indeed, Moa, and a very good point there, that from that we can understand, just anyone can relate to that, and anyone, because of the nature that or the life that we are living nowadays with our gadgets, so we can understand. And that picture, it's famous, it goes around on WhatsApp, that says if you got a picture last seen on WhatsApp 2 minutes ago, the Quran, when last did we see that? Maybe last Ramadan or last month or so. And Moa, another story that we found was that when your internet connection dies, this cause isn't likely to be a government issued blackout, but that's the reality for people living in Iraq. That earlier this week, Iraq's government turned off all broadband and mobile broadband connections, effectively cutting the entire country off from the rest of the world. And what was the reason behind this? That students didn't cheat on their exams. Each block, according to the social media exchange, took place between 5 FM and 8 AM. Dictated by the Ministry of Communications across all regions of Iraq. And this is not something new. You'll find that last year in 2015 there was 15 reported shutdowns in Iraq, and in 2014 as well they did it. But what the people are raising now, what the concerns that people are raising, and what's most worrying, is the scale of ease that which the network can be turned off, that connecting the major cities, there's a fiber optic backbone, and this is essentially owned by the government and run by the Iraqi Telecommunications and Post Company. And basically they say it's just you know, just disconnecting that router, and the entire country is in an internet shutdown. No one has access to anything, no internet connection whatsoever. So more worrying about them doing it is the ease that by what they can do it.
Internet is so vulnerable, yet internet has become an essential part of our lives. We cannot function or we cannot continue without the use of the internet. Right now, a program as well is running through internet connections, and we are using data online, and this is how a program is running, and so much of work of Deen is done. Internet has become not a nice to have anymore, but a need to have. You know, use it for like how you need electricity and water. Sometimes we need internet to that extent as well. Your banking, your social media, your entertainment sites, your basic information that you require, homework that is done on the internet, there's research done, and there's so much of education that is passed on the internet. And when people become when we have become dependent to such an extent on the internet, and then for them just to shut it down at the flip of a switch, or just like disconnecting a plug, it really makes you worried. It makes you concerned that so much of power can be held by certain individuals, and that power can really debilitate a country. And that is, you can see the greater scheme of things, the greater control of things. That is the reality, that we will become dependent on this connection on internet to such an extent that we'll feel like we are unable to live without it. And the control of that will be in the hands of one individual, or certain individuals, or one organization. And then we will be practically enslaved. Allah protect us, but we'll be practically enslaved to that organization. And like the people in Iraq experienced it, you know, we should, it's a lesson for us that we should not become so dependent to the extent that we cannot live our lives without it.
Yes, it would be difficult to find a business or even a home that would be able to continue its normal day without access to the internet. Companies rely on it heavily. I've read recently that even the post office are starting to give email or registered email accounts as well. So many people have become dependent on it. It would be almost impossible to imagine. Like now, if someone had to tell you that a world without internet is something we wouldn't be able to imagine, and I don't think many companies would also survive without it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about that, internet in South Africa is on the rise and improving. You've heard of fiber optic internet and fiber to the home, FTTH. That's coming to many different suburbs. Many suburbs in central Johannesburg have it already, and it's coming to many other suburbs as well. And we need to know what it's all about, and we need to be well aware of the effect that it's going to be having on our lives as well. And I know, you know, my brother does fiber optic cabling and connections and all of that type of work as well. And you know, there's a great demand for this internet connection. It's faster than your ADSL, in certain cases cheaper as well, and people are really rushing for it in the areas that have had rollout already. But I don't know when Lens will be getting it. I'm sure it's not going to be very long time. I know Ermelo will be getting it in quite a long time afterwards, because it's far away from the reef and far away from centers. But we need to know about this internet, and we need to know how it affects our lives as well.
Yes, just on that, Malana, that a few months back, those who live in the Lanesia area and travel on the roads, you would have noticed that going out of Lanesia and Nirvana Drive past the mall, they were digging, and I was told that they were already putting in the cables for this fiber optic cables, and so I think it's only a matter of time when they decide to sort of flip that switch, and then we'll have access to that as well.
Yes. Now it's already 29 minutes to 12. We're going to be taking a break now, inshallah. After that, we'll speak to Mawlana Yahya Bam, inshallah. Stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's 26 minutes to 12. My name is Jureej Jassad. My co-host, Mawlana Ibrahim Daya, is with me on in the Indonesia studios, and we have on the line Mawlana Yahya Bam. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana.
How are you keeping this morning?
Shukr Khudai Paka, very well. Beautiful, warm sunshine outside, and what a day. It was just as we read the dua in the morning, it was only to say that we are kissing the morning. It's beautiful, Maulana. Shukr to Khudai Pak.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Maulana, today, what a topic are we looking at? We're looking at the coming of the month of Ramadan. The 15th of Sha'ban has passed us. Mubarak and blessed days are on our doorstep. Inshallah Aziz, we can perhaps look at preparations.
Definitely, Maulana, it is right on our doorstep. Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fil Quran. And what is it that Allah Ta'ala, what is the one maqsad, la'allakum tattaqoon? So that Allah consciousness, that love for Allah becomes stronger, and that which has broken down is now remend. Allah Ta'ala gives us a chance to come back to Him. Banda, you've been for 11 months where you wanted to be. Come back. I'm opening the door. Every time Allah Ta'ala, that is the mercy, the beauty of the great Allah. He has opened the door. Come, my Banda. You went, you ran around, you got involved. You did what you did in the dunya. Once a year, I give this chance. Come back. The sale opens, and whoever wants to come and buy. And it's not just a couple of percent or a few. This is now thousands of percent, which is definitely not normal in humanly terms. It can be only 100%. It can't be more. But this is thousands and sometimes up to millions that Allah gives in this month of Ramadan.
Yes, this is a real boon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala opens up this opportunity for us people who do not exert all of the time. Allah ta'ala opens up this unique scoring opportunity that we can take benefit from tremendously.
And the shaitan on the other side is tied out of the way. Come on, we're going to give you a chance. We don't want shaitan to be in between. It's you and your Allah. Thousands to be multiplied. Great rewards. And Allah says what it is for. So that you can reconnect the taqwa. La'allakum tattaqoon is that love for Allah can be rebuilt, Mawlana.
Yes, and Ma, we look in this preparation for the month of Ramadan, and as you mentioned, that it is the month of the Quran, the month of reading Quran, the month of adopting taqwa as well, bringing the taqwa into a person's life, so that Allah conscious, that Allah awareness comes into a person's life, and then can further push you to do good deeds past the month of Ramadan as well. And you look into the lives of Sahaba, you look into the lives of the pious predecessors as well, they would be anxious and they would be waiting for the month of Ramadan. They would be making dua, that we know the dua that we read, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Let us reach that month of Ramadan, and they would be waiting with that anxiety and that intention so that they can benefit greatly in the month of Ramadan.
Surely enough, it is a time wherein Allah opens those doors and a person needs to grab. Yeah, the preparations for the month of Ramadan can be of various types. Among them, one is those that are going to get a chance and that has that chance of wealth being available to them, time being available to them. They're going to go to the Holy Lands and do an Umrah in the month of Ramadan. It is like doing Hajj with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who does an Umrah in the month of Ramadan. But that is not for all. For us all, ordinary people, what is there for us? Ya Allah, so great it is for me and you. First of all, Allah Ta'ala has opened the Quran reading, which is multiplied by so many times. And it is that month which is the month of the Quran. Ramadan is the month of the Quran, Maulana.
This is what we need to exert ourselves in the month of Ramadan. You know, just yesterday somebody was showing me from I think the excerpt was from Abbiti about the mother of Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullahi alayhi, and how much of ma'amulat she used to make. And on top of that, recite one manzil of the Quran a day. And you know, it's really amazing that with the housework, finishing the chores, still completing so much and then reciting so much of Quran in a day, we have to really take lesson from these pious people, and we have to increase the amount of Quran that we are reciting.
Mawlana, surely enough, these great walis of Allah, these great friends of Allah, they took out from their life other things and set themselves into, in the month of Ramadan, into that type of ibadat. And they put all other things aside so that it can be attended to in the other times of the year. In the month of Ramadan, they had gone into that ibadat. But now, for us ordinary people, we might think, it might be in our mind, that we can't take out our time. We have to continue with life, we have to go to work, or we have to do what we're supposed to be doing. What are we going to do? We can't touch what those people did. Ya Allah, for me and you, Allah, that is why the word Allah Ta'ala uses, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that the taqwa, so that your akhlaq, your character, your speech, your mannerism, all that also becomes not only ibadat but great ibadat. If you can read Quran or do dhikr that much, very well. Otherwise, if you have cleansed your lifestyle, you see that no guna comes to you. Hazrat Mawlana Abdurrahman Sharan Klali, he used to over and over, every time Ramadan came, alhamdulillah, so often, so many times, we were there by him, near him. This is what he would say, that Allah is giving you like an eternally ill patient, person that is now really going to die, he's got no hope, cancer, whatever disease has overtaken him, and here it comes to him, that he has 30 tablets. Take these tablets. They are so power-packed with such medication in it that at the end of this course of 30 tablets, you will be 100% cured from all disease and ailment. How will you not take it dedicatedly? Hazrat Wala used to say that here is 30 tablets from Allah, 30 rozas in the month of Ramadan. Take it and do not commit any guna. Don't commit any guna. But today this zamana that we are in is such that we cannot start off by saying this much Quran and this much zikr and this much. Let's start off below the line. No guna. If somebody does no guna at the end of 30 days, inshallah, that person is the wali of Allah already. If he just opened very little Quran, he did minimal, very minimal zikr. At the time of iftar, he took the name in the dua for a little while. He stood for tarawih. But most importantly, he abstained from guna in the zamana. Wallahu Allah ka wali ban gaya. He is the wali of Allah at the end of the month of Ramadan.
Yes, we know that the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that ittaqul maharim takuna abad al-nas, that if you save yourself from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited and those things which Allah has made unlawful, then in essence you have worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best. And it also serves as a sort of a lesson for us as well, that I know many people and almost everyone in the month of Ramadan, they would stay away from sins and some habits that they have throughout the year. And it serves as a lesson for us that see, in these 30 days or these 29 or 30 days, I've managed to go without that. I've managed and my life has carried on. And you feel a bit easier, you feel more happier, and shows it should be that stepping stone to now completely leave those actions as well.
Yeah, even ordinary thing like cigarettes, if a person can abstain from cigarettes, and those that say that I cannot give up cigarettes, in Ramadan, how do you give it up for this 12, 10 hours, 13 hours that we keep the roza? If cigarettes can be given up, then why not other gunas? Why not other sins? Abstain from guna, and your first step towards piety has already been completed. Now you can start building. If above that Quran is read, the Taraweeh that we are going to read. Dedicate yourself to reading the Taraweeh properly, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so the first step is abstaining from sins. The second step, Maulana, you say, is to make sure that we perform the Taraweeh properly, correctly, focusing without taking any unnecessary breaks in between, and making sure that we are there to complete the entire khatam with Jamaat, inshallah.
Maulana, the person that is leading the Taraweeh, those that are leading the Taraweeh, they are leading there from the first word, reading every part of the Quran. Do we get so tired that we cannot stand behind them? I mean, they had to learn the whole day. They had to set it in their mind to learn. Alhamdulillah, we have at our masjid on the one side, in the masjid you're going to have the one supara like normal, like all masajid. And next to it in the extension, there will be 10 suparas per night read. Now, that person that is leading in the 10 suparas, I mean, he had to learn, he had to get the whole thing in the mind. And now when the Taraweeh starts, from the Takbir-e-Tahrimah, he makes Allahu Akbar, and he's reading. And we that are not reading, we have only to listen. We get so tired that we have to go and drink water and go to toilet and every now and then going out to the back. What is happening? Can we, if we have to dedicate that time in reading and listening to the Taraweeh correctly, as I said, that if we had to make a program, if we had to drop an agenda, what do I do in this month of Ramadan? What do I need to do? Let me now see, how do I want to spend my Ramadan? We said number one on the agenda, I would put, I must abstain from haram, guna, sins, all that takes me towards guna and sin. If I abstain from that, number two, I make my fard namazes, because that's one of the most important ibadats with roza. Roza is fard namaz and fard roza. That too. Then number three on that list will be whatever else we want to put down, like it's going to be Quran. That is an important ibadat. Tahajjud, important ibadat. Like that. Dua making, another important, it's like that we draw up a program, something will happen, we will get somewhere by the end of the month of Ramadan.
Yes, and we look at the month of Ramadan, and as you mentioned, the thing that we need to list out and we need to do or accomplish in the month of Ramadan. And one thing you'll find also in the month of Ramadan is that the masjids are also alive. The masjids are, you know, you'll find that people are making ibadah. There's people that are willing to even teach. People are reading Quran in the masjid as well. And you'll find when we come to the last few nights, people are sitting at tikaf. So a great opportunity also for us to learn about the deen, that going with that intention of learning about salah, learning about the masail of salah, of how to read Quran. It's a great opportunity for all of us in this month as well, Maulana.
Definitely, in the month of Ramadan, like we said, that the masajid become alive. Some of the masajid I've seen that between Asr and Maghrib, poor people that come for Asr, they will then remain right up to Maghrib doing Quran, especially, or zikr, or sitting. There are in so many masajid that the alim sits down and he teaches a few masail, answers to questions that we want. Then we go into the Taraweeh period. And then in the night, especially like you spoke about the last 10 nights, this i'tikaf. I'tikaf is when a person secludes and he completely devotes that time to Allah, thinking of Allah, talking to Allah, thinking of Allah. But then, alhamdulillah, some of the masajid, they have some zikr programs, they have some kitab reading programs wherein they will discuss masail and do programs together. This also gives an encouragement, that person that cannot at home do all this alone, why not take the opportunity to sit and come to the masjid? He came for Isha or came to the night program with the intention that I'm going to learn. Instead of learning in a classroom, I'm going to learn in the masjid. Now he's going to get that reward of Talib Ilm, by walking to the masjid and being in that dars, call it a dars, in the night of Ramadan. And every one masla that he's going to learn is 100 rakats of Nafil Namaz. Surely, how many masail are you going to learn? The whole year you didn't get a chance. You don't get a chance because you're too busy, or Mawlana Sahib is too busy. We cannot sit and discuss a whole masla through. Yeah, in the month of Ramadan, that alim has given his time. In our masjid, Mawlana, they start off at 10 o'clock at night, and then they go up to 12, 1, 2 in the night, in the month of Ramadan. And besides the Quran that they will read jointly together, teach Quran, learn the sunnahs of how to make the namaz, how to make wudu, many masail with regards to zakat, masail with regards to Allah, is now discussed, starting at 10, going for quite a few hours. And every masla that you're learning, that you are listening to, as mentioned, is under. What are you not scoring in this night? If you did it at home alone, you would have not managed. There are those saintly ones that manage comfortably. But for us, these are the avenues that Allah has opened for us to score real big, Mawlana.
And you know, like one example, I think I mentioned it last year as well in Ramadan, is that in our masjid we have a joint recitation of the Quran, where a hafiz reads he reads from the Quran, and people who cannot read as fast, they follow in their recitation. And like that, in the last 10 nights, we complete one full khatam of the Quran. So people who normally just complete one Quran during Ramadan, by joining in this, they alhamdulillah complete a second khatam during the month of Ramadan, and that makes it easier for them.
Mawlana, if we just extend it a bit further, some will sit and listen very well. Others, if that imam is reading it in namaz, in nafil namaz, then they will follow by standing, and there is nothing wrong with that. Although some ulama have, and in the golden eras of where people had that great power of deen and great knowledge, etc., then it was mentioned that it might be makruh, or not a preferable things to do, to get together and do the ibadat and things. But we are now living in such a zamana, Mawlana, where a little candle also, a little match light also, is too much in the great vast darkness that we are passing through. So appreciate it. Where they talk about itikaf being a complete seclusion, and you get into that corner and you're away from everything. But today, I see mashayikh have opened the doors of itikaf for people to come and do zikr jointly with the shaykh, learn their masail, turn to Allah. And it's a day and time where every bit of deen activity is going to be appreciated and is going to be time well spent, Mawlana.
Yes, Ma, the month of Ramadan also, as we mentioned those few points, but also we should also just make mention that it's a time also to spend, you know, in the company of the ulama, in the company of the pious people, and have that sort of link with them, so that a person can also further benefit and speak to them, and, you know, further yourself with regards to your spirituality as well.
Yeah, and then at home, another good practice to put in is at the time of, if you're doing iftar in the masjid, then after maghrib or after isha or in the later part of the night of suhoor time, get up and after reading Quran, get the whole family together and spend time in dua. One is your individual dua, which you do in the darkness of your room, and one is with the family. Make dua. Like Quran reading is an ibadat on its own, like namaz is going to be read, taraweeh, you have to take out that 1-2 hours to do the taraweeh. In the very, very same way, take out time to beg and cry from Allah, to make dua, either a joint dua with the family and your own dua also, inshallah. That also will benefit greatly. And do not forget the poor. It's a great ibadah to go looking for the poor and give. In the last days of Ramadan, when people are in itikaf, others are going to be going to find. It's not necessary that all your sadaqat al-fitr and those zakat monies are given to the organization, let them write the receipt. It should not be that. We go and find the poor and give it to the poor, especially the sadaqat al-fitr should go into the hand of the poor that way. Maulana?
Mm. This is an effort that we really need to do. In fact, we were discussing it just the other day amongst the youth here in Ermelo that we really need to formulate a system of identifying exactly who's the suitable recipients, and before the actual day of Eid, to be able to give the Sadaqatul Fitr to them so that they can also do preparations in time and they can enjoy the day of Eid like the way we enjoy it as well.
Yeah, it is something to be put on the table of the Muslim on that Eid day. And why must it be only dry groceries? Why can't it be that night or that evening? I mean, today we've got fridges and things. You might not have to slaughter the chickens. But getting fresh meat on the table of that poor people that normally would not have been able to celebrate that Eid. Here's it. Sadaqat al-Fitr in its life form. It's a great way for the Sadaqat al-Fitr to be given, Mawla.
Yes, inshallah, Aziz. Mawla, it brings us to the end of the program today. And inshallah, Aziz, we will speak next week. Next week, Tuesday, is our maybe our last Tuesday before the month of Ramadan. And then the week after that, we'll be in the month of Ramadan, inshallah, Aziz.
Allah, Mubarak to all the listeners. Request for du'as that Allah Ta'ala give us the great benefit of Ramadan and many more such Ramadans, and may Allah Ta'ala give shifa to those that are ill, and Allah Ta'ala give gentle for those to our loved ones that have left the dunya and are in need of everyone. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Today they cannot do it, we can still do it. Let us value this moment. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا. مولانا يحيى بامزاب, مولانا إبراهيم, شكرا جزيلا. إن شاء الله we'll speak tomorrow, إن شاء الله.
إن شاء الله we will be back tomorrow at 11 with discussing the world stories tomorrow, ما.
World stories, and then speaking to مولانا أحمد جوهان about the Shamail of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From ourselves, and شكرا to our studio operator, Brother Ziyad. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.